From KPFK Pacifica Radio in Los Angeles, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. Thousands of people gathered in Washington, D.C. this past Saturday as part of the Poor People's Campaign. The rally was held as a culmination of 40 days of actions around the nation addressing poverty and related ills. Reverend Liz Theo Harris, one of the co-chairs of the Poor People's Campaign, announced during the rally, "We are sick, we are homeless, we are separated from our families, and we will keep coming back until everyone has housing, voting rights, clean water, peace and justice." Reverend William Barber, the other major co-chair whose Moral Mondays protest paved the way for this new Poor People's Campaign, was also a central figure at the rally.
What do we want?
Justice!
When do we want it?
Now!
What do we want?
Justice!
When do we want it?
Now!
What do we want?
Justice!
When do we want it?
Now!
What do we want?
Justice!
You are demonstrating
now! What do we want?
Justice!
You will be subject to
arrest. What do we want?
Justice!
When do we want it?
Now!
What do we want?
Justice!
When do we want it?
Now!
What do we want?
Justice!
And that is the voice of Reverend William Barber, who was leading a rally on Saturday in Washington, D.C. The D.C. action marks a turning point in the next phase of this ambitious movement being organized under the banner of the Poor People's Campaign. Today, we'll get a special report from one person who's been on the front lines of the movement, John Stout, who happens to be the chief of staff of Free Speech TV, this very independent television and digital media network that you can watch this program on. He was one of the co-founders of Free Speech TV 23 years ago, and he's been covering the Poor People's Campaign for FSTV. As an activist, he's been arrested twice in front of the U.S. Capitol as part of the campaign's initial 40-day season of moral fusion, nonviolent direct action. He is helping to organize the Poor People's Campaign in his home state of Colorado and represented the state in the Saturday rally in Washington, D.C. Welcome to the program, John.
Thank you, Sonali. Great to be here.
So first, let's talk about what happened on Saturday and even in the days before that, before we get to what's next, because a lot of people are wondering what's next now for this after this huge event. Saturday, how many people were there? What sorts of things took place? What was the atmosphere like?
The atmosphere was electrifying. It was empowering. There were several thousand people that gathered on the mall, not too far from the site of the original Resurrection City with the 1968 Poor People's Campaign. And we heard across the morning and into the afternoon incredibly moving testimonials from impacted people. We heard motivating speeches by faith leaders, and we heard calls to action, calls to stand up to end systemic poverty, systemic racism, ecological devastation, and the war economy. And interspersed through all of that was incredibly powerful music, the music that's been animating this campaign, really the soundtrack and heartbeat of this campaign, and plenty of signs and artwork and creativity also fueling this movement.
Hmm. Now, there was also on Thursday, so just a couple of days before the rally in D.C., a direct action as well, at which I understand you were among several people who were arrested. Tell us what happened Thursday.
Yes. Saturday ended the 40-day season of moral direct action that started on Mother's Day. This is a season of direct action that was organized in 40 state capitals across the country and in Washington, D.C. And for those 6 Mondays, there were direct actions that took place in all those areas, always focused on a specific theme and issue. On Thursday, they followed up those 6 weeks of direct action with one final direct action as part of this campaign's phase one launch. And in this case, we marched from the tent that has been the headquarters for the Poor People's Campaign over the past week. And the theme was we're gonna march to the rich man's house and take back what's been stolen from us. We're gonna take back our dignity. We're gonna take back our humanity. And we marched from the tent on the mall to the U.S. Capitol. We could have taken a direct route and gone up the west steps, up to the back door of the Capitol. But the campaign said, no, this time poor people are not going to be forced through the back door. We are going to walk right up the steps to the front door of the U.S. Capitol to make our demands known. So we walked to the front of the Capitol, and before we could even get to the steps, we were stopped by the Capitol Police. Reverend William Barber was at the front with Reverend Liz Theo Harris. We told they told the police why we were there, which was to walk up those steps and to take back what's been stolen from us. When we were no longer allowed to proceed and we did not disperse after being asked to disperse, then we were arrested. There were about 100 people who put their bodies on the line on Thursday, and about 3,000 people have gotten arrested across the country over this 40-day season of nonviolent direct action.
And we have some video of you being released from after being arrested. And while we're watching that, John, tell us a little bit about why these direct actions are so important, because, of course, it's not easy to face arrest. It takes courage. For some people, it's a more dangerous thing than for other people, depending upon your race, your background, your immigration status. It can be a very personally risky thing to do, right?
Yes, it can. And I just want to be clear, when I made the decision on Thursday and the first Monday of the campaign to get arrested, that was a personal choice for me. And frankly, it was a choice that came out of my own position of privilege. I was able to make a decision that I was going to put my body on the line for a few hours that afternoon. For many people, they are living their lives every day and every night on that line. They may show up to get arrested that afternoon, and when they are released, they don't know where they're going to sleep that night. They don't know when and where they're going to get their next warm meal. They don't know whether they're going to find themselves spending the night in a jail cell, or whether they're standing up to take this moral direct action could have an incredible impact on their family as a result of their immigration status. Those, for me, are the real heroes of this campaign. It's the impacted people who are saying, we have had enough and we are going to stand up. For me, it was a privilege to march behind them and to support them in taking this action.
Let's hear some of the chants of people then on Saturday, just a couple of days later, where this huge rally took place that we've heard, that we're hearing report back from John about. Here are some of the sounds from Saturday's rally.
Justice!
What do we want
now?
If we don't get it,
shut it down!
If we don't get it,
shut it down!
If we don't get it,
shut it down!
And that is just a taste of what Saturday looked and felt like in Washington, D.C., where the Poor People's Campaign held a massive rally. Thousands of people, including my guest, John Stout, were in attendance. John, what impact do you think the rally had in Washington, D.C.? I know that the news cycle has been completely dominated, justifiably so, by the family separation issue over the last week and a half to 2 weeks. And I'm wondering if you were satisfied with the media coverage of this DC rally on Saturday that people have been working up to for months and months and laying the groundwork and putting a lot of hard work in to make happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for me, the media coverage of this particular campaign is is of a secondary concern. The purpose of this rally on Saturday was to bring people together so they could feel their collective power and to come together as we ended the first phase of this campaign, the 40-day season of moral direct action, and we launched the second phase of what is going to be a multi-year campaign. In the second phase of this campaign, we're gonna go deep. We're gonna work on building power from the grassroots up, and we are going to engage in massive voter registration and mobilization. Mobilization not just for the 2018 midterms, not just for the 2020 presidential elections, but we're going to mobilize voters to take back their power, to exert their power for all the years ahead. This campaign is just getting started. As Reverend Barber says, this is the first step. This is the beginning of what we know will be a mass movement.
I one of the things that has struck me about the Poor People's Campaign, John, is what I think is a refreshingly adversarial relation, not adversarial, but just refreshingly independent relationship with politicians, political candidates. We tend to have organizations that, once they build power, unfortunately cede that power to often the Democratic Party. Talking about organized labor here, unfortunately, we've had a lot of organizations that have done great work over the years and then just become reliable backers of one political party instead of holding that party accountable, instead of saying, we'll applaud you when you do the right thing, we'll hold your feet to the fire when you do the wrong thing. Is that a deliberate reimagining of how activism should have a relationship with the political establishment?
I believe so. At Free Speech TV, we talk a lot about what it's going to take to change this country. And we talk about an inside and an outside strategy. That an inside strategy does involve bringing to power those elected officials who are committed to a progressive agenda. But equally important, Sonali, is the outside strategy, and that is the strategy of building that grassroots power. This is the power of the people that can instruct our elected officials, that can hold them accountable, and perhaps most importantly, to embolden them to know that there is a movement out there that has their back and wants to see them be bold and step forward with the kinds of policies that are going to protect the poor, the sick, the disenfranchised. So that's really important. The Poor People's Campaign has made a very, very conscious choice of not being politically aligned. Barber talks a lot about this is not a movement that is about left versus right. It's not Republican versus Democrat. This is a campaign that is about right versus wrong. And in fact, they have explicitly said that no politician, no elected official, or no one running for an elected office will be permitted to take the stage. This is not a movement that is going to give voice to those who are already in power. This is a movement that is giving voice to those people who are going to hold those politicians accountable and embolden them.
John, how did people link up the national conversation on immigration and family separation and the real, really dangerous scapegoating of immigrants? How do people connect that up with the calls to end poverty, or in the words of many signs on Saturday, to fight poverty, not the poor?
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the things I really love about this campaign is that this is an explicitly intersectional campaign. In addition to it being interfaith, intergenerational, it's not just multi-issue, it is intersectional by its analysis. The audit that was done, the Souls of Poor Folk, talks about how those states that have the greatest racialized of voter suppression are also the states that are cutting back on health care, that are increasing incarceration of people, that are also allowing the greatest environmental devastation to occur. So it's looking at how all of these issues connect, and that certainly connects with and is connected by what we're seeing with the immigration crisis in this country right now, with families being torn apart, with children being detained. And Sonali, this is also, as you know, this is not a new problem. Our immigration system has been tearing families apart for many, many years. It's just now there is, it's more blatant with these detention centers that have been set up for the children at the border. But this, and this, all of these issues that the Poor People's Campaign are addressing, these are, none of these are new issues. None of these are issues that are new with this administration, but we are taking, we are seeing this administration as the time for us to say enough is enough. We are going to mobilize and we are going to fight back, and we're going to be led by impacted communities, by impacted people. And that's also something that really moved me at the rally on Saturday and the few days I spent in Washington. It was talking with folks there was a woman, Lorraine Berry from Chicago, who's part of the Making Change at Walmart movement. This is a woman who came to D.C. To talk about how she is, after 4 years of working at Walmart, she is still making $11.26 an hour. She talked about what it's like to live with those sub wages. And she has taken her time to go out and to show solidarity with others and to organize others, to say it's immoral for the CEO of Walmart to make $23 million a year when so many of their workers have low wages, inadequate health care, and are facing disrespect by the management. There are two really incredibly moving people. I spoke to Brian and Ray Lynn, who are part of the California Homeless Union. These are folks who have had all of their earthly possessions taken from them and destroyed by the police in their municipalities. And they have taken to the courts as homeless people to take civil action against their municipalities to demand that those cities respect basic human rights. Brian went to the local library, did all the research himself, and hand wrote his complaint against his city government. Ultimately, he prevailed, and his case is now the basis for a class action lawsuit against this municipality. This is what the Poor People's Campaign is about. It is about people, impacted persons, claiming their power and leading this fight, and having those of us who are in agreement that these are the moral issues of our time, that we can get behind and support these people.
So obviously workers are on the forefront of the Poor People's Campaign. But John, we talked earlier about organized labor. Was organized labor present at the Poor People's Campaign? Did we see unions represent?
Yes, we did. The SEIU was there. The United Food and Commercial Workers Union was there. There were several unions that were definitely out in force. You could pick them out by the color of their T-shirts, and they have thrown their weight behind. On the stage, there were probably seven or eight union leaders who got up and spoke. And Reverend Barber was very adamant about this. We were running, the rally was running a little bit behind, and he told those union leaders who came up, hey, you know, say your bit in 10 seconds and then turn it over to your worker, because we want to hear their stories. This is about impacted people, not about necessarily about the leadership per se.
So, John, for those people who missed the rally or just couldn't find a local chapter in their own local city, I noticed it's a little bit East Coast heavy, Poor People's Campaign events that took place on Saturday in solidarity. What are some of the things they can do? Say somebody is interested in starting a chapter in their own city or joining one that's local. Is there a place they can go to?
Well, they can go to the Poor People's Campaign website, poorpeoplescampaign.org, and reach out there to the organizers. As part of the first phase of this campaign, the organizers set as a top goal training and mobilizing, coordinating committees in as many states as possible. And I think as of today, there's 41 or 42 states that have coordinating committees. So there's definitely a way to get involved. And these extend from Alaska to Alabama, from California to Connecticut. There were over 40 states represented at the rally on Saturday.
Wow, wonderful. Well, John, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. And I also want to just thank Free Speech TV in general, which was out in full force of the Poor People's Campaign and provided some of the footage that we shared on our program today. John, thank you and good luck to you.
Thank you so much. And I just want to say that one of the reasons Free Speech TV was out there, one of the reasons why we marched and got arrested was because we have heard from our viewers that they want to do more. Many couldn't be there, so we marched in their honor, in their place.
Wonderful. Well, again, thank you so much, John, for putting yourself out there, for putting your own body on the line, so to speak, facing arrest. And I'm sure we'll be seeing more of you out on the front lines in the future. Thanks again.
Thank you, Sonali.
John Stout is Chief of Staff of Free Speech TV, organizing with the Poor People's Campaign. He's been giving us a report back from the major rally in D.C. last Saturday. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.